Well, hey, hearty welcome, people loved by God. This is Thy Strong Word, a show devoted to reading and hearing, pondering and proclaiming the powerful word of our gracious giver, God, your loving Heavenly Father. It's produced for you by the LCMS, Office of National Mission, and graciously underwritten in part by the good folks at Lutheran Heritage Foundation, LHFmissions.org. I'm your host, William Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. It's such a joy to be with you today as we venture into a series of Psalms, 90, 92, 112, and 115 today. And joining us for the exploration is the Chancellor of LCMSU, Marcus Zill, Director of Campus Ministry for Lutheran Church, Missouri. It is a joy to have you on the show today, my friend.
Oh, it's great to hear your voice, Will Chancellor Whedon.
Hey, I got it. I was actually contemplating asking you to skip the opening prayer, since we will be praying throughout the Psalms as we listen. You know, we'll hear Ben sing them, and then I'll ask for your comments on them. Or actually, then I'll pray the prayer, the Psalm prayer for them, and then ask for your comments on each Psalm. But my daughter is in labor right now with grandchild number 8. And so I'm going to ask not only that you pray for our blessed hearing of the word, but also pray for Lauren and her safe delivery of this this next little grandbaby for me. Would you do that?
Absolutely. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you are the author and giver of life. We ask that you be with Laura in her time of need. Help her to turn to you, surround her, send your holy angels to look after her, surround her by your grace, remind her of her baptism. And even as we look forward to bringing this new little one into the world, into the light of day, may we also be reminded here about your strong word and what it means for us in our daily walk, as well as we live and move and have our being, in your most gracious name and mercy. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, have you ever thought about how similar birth and what the scriptures give us is? I mean, like, there's baby is wrapped up in the darkness. There's I have his mom. It doesn't know what's going on until it's pushed out. And all of a sudden, there's a new world there. It's like the scriptures give us all the, while we're still sort of wrapped up in, as far as sight goes, in this dark world, in the sacred scriptures, especially as they're unfolded in our Lord Jesus Christ. Light shines in that darkness. We know where we're headed. Yeah. We know there's light out on the other side of this. And meanwhile, it's a little bit of trouble getting out, you know?
You know, the baby doesn't know. The baby thinks that it doesn't get much better than this.
Right.
And in some ways, we always lament, well, you know, wouldn't we rather be able to climb back into the womb? But we always, there's always more with God, you know, just when you think, well, it couldn't get better than this, then you come to life.
There's more, right?
And then even though we all have to live with the realities of the cycle of life and death, even after that, there's still more.
There's more.
And
there's more.
There's always more. And, you know, it does me great. First of all, it's great to hear your voice. I know that in the last couple of weeks, last 3 weeks or so. How long has it been since your brother?
He died on July the 3rd. And you've had sorrow in your life, man.
Right. Well, I have to admit I'm a little bit weary. I just my sister-in-law Christine just passed away. She was 56.
Wow.
I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and even though I work as the Synod's Director of Campus Ministry, I'm deployed. Long story. I'm not sure if they just don't want to allow me close to the building or maybe as little as possible. Maybe they didn't want you and I in the same place.
That's it.
I can only handle Will and Zill. I don't know if we should have those two together too often. But no, I just returned last night from a 40-hour round trip drive from New Mexico almost to Saskatchewan.
Wow.
So I'm a little weary on many fronts, and you know, your daughter Laura is probably a little weary on many fronts.
Lauren.
But
yes.
Lauren.
Oh, no problem.
You know what? The bottom line is, what better time is it than when you're weary?
Yep.
When you're, I mean, when is there a bad time to ever say, you know what? Let's look at the Psalms.
Let's sing some Psalms. Amen. That is so true. And this first Psalm is kind of unique for us. I'll just say this out before we actually listen to it. The only Psalm in the Psalter from Moses by tradition. So this is actually the voice of the great man that God used to deliver Israel out of Egypt. So let's go ahead and hear this first Psalm.
Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations.
We pray, keep us, O Lord, from one generation to another, and let not us, who have clung to thy foundation, be carried away with this present world, but arise to be our comforter in trouble, and by the bestowal of joy, wipe away our sorrows, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
And people love, I got to remember, you can check out all the Psalms as chanted there by Dr. Mays if you go to llpb.us. And if you want to actually pick up the book that he's singing them from, it is offered by Emmanuel Press. It's called The Brotherhood Prayer Book, but it's just the King James Psalter. Okay, so Pastor, this is kind of unique as being like a complete meditation on the wrath of God.
You know? Yeah.
But it doesn't start out or end up that way. It starts out with, hey, you're our home. You're the place we live in. I'm reminded of St. Paul saying in him, we live and move and have our being, right? You know,
Sure.
Lord, you've been our dwelling place and all generations before anything came to be, he's our dwelling place. And when everything is gone, he is still our dwelling place. And he can do this mighty work for us. But in the meantime, we have this thing about wrath. Can you comment on the way he describes the wrath of God here?
This is the only psalm attributed to Moses, right?
Right.
And so here at the beginning of book four, you have Moses, who's the great lawgiver, you know, and most of these book four psalms are all kind of like a miscellaneous. It's like, okay, we don't know where these all go. Let's put them together. They're often laments. Here you have this great lawgiver, Moses, and he starts out with the gospel. We hear gospel right out of the chutes from the great lawgiver.
That's beautiful, you know,
Poor Moses is, it always amazes me. You know, we always like to, we kind of like, you know, spiritually profile or theologically profile everybody in the Bible. And, you know, Moses, law, all the, you know, John the Baptist, repent, you know, but yet John the Baptist points us to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Here, Moses, the one through whom we get the law, the author of the Torah, all this, you know, here, first of all, he has a prayer. You know, we don't think of Moses, of all people, as praying to God, just giving down the law, bringing down the Ten Commandments, rules, Torah. And here we have this beautiful lament prayer that starts off, and it's a, like you said, it's about the, it's in many ways about the wrath of God, but he starts off immediately with, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. You know, you are our God from everlasting to everlasting. If he's nothing but law, why are we hearing this beautiful gospel right off the bat? It puts to shame anybody that thinks Moses is nothing but law.
And you, I mean, I may be crazy on this, but I mean, the picture in me of this psalm is like, when there's wrath, you better go into that cleft in the rock. You know, climb right into your rock, climb into God. He's the rescue from the wrath of God is God, not something you come up with, you know?
Absolutely.
But here
Moses is, you know, and it makes sense when you think about it. If it's a prayer, I mean, when you think about how we've been tutored in the Lord's Prayer to pray, you know, your first, even though he's going to talk about the wrath of God, your first statement is really, you know, giving a sign of adoration to God for who he is and what he has done. And so Moses is starting off right with that, with who God is, what he has done, and giving all credit and glory to him. And like you said, this is far from the Monty Python, run away! This is run to God.
Yeah.
We're going to see, even though it's also a psalm about the wrath of God.
Yeah. And so that sort of sets everything up, as you notice that he is the refuge, and you know, it wraps it up with good stuff at the end. But in the middle, it deals with the reality of living under the judgment of God in this fallen world. Israel certainly experienced that, right? I mean, think about their wilderness wandering.
Oh, yeah.
They thought, no, we'll do it our way. And God said, see how that works out for you. They died. And then they're like, okay, no. Okay, we're serious now. We'll go do this thing. And Moses is like, hey, he told you. Now you're not going to, don't go up there without him. They went and did it again. And more judgment came over and over and over again in the wilderness. They're being trained by God. And they continually fall and fail. And all the distrust that they evidence in that journey, forgetting the God who parted the sea and brought them out of Egypt, that we could go back to Egypt, it's a beautiful picture of how in our lives God brings us out, through baptism into this life with him. But then there's this constant falling on our faces over and over again, and doubting and forgetting him. And that's always under the wrath of God, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Moses, he reminds us here immediately, you return man to dust. We are children of the dust, but we are yet children of our Heavenly Father. And even though our days pass away under the weight of this wrath, even though we fall on our faces again and again and again and again, yet God is still our dwelling place, even though by rights we deserve to be cast out in the wilderness forever. And of course, Israel is roaming around in the desert forever. And here Moses is calling out to God and giving praise to him for being our dwelling place in all generations, including our own wilderness walks.
He's really clear that under the wrath of God, there's going to be death. It's one of the things Luther said that just sort of always sticks to me is, I owe God a death. I do. I owe him a death. Death is simply out there waiting for every last one of us. Unless the Lord Jesus comes first, returns first with the complete destruction of death. But before that day, everyone is going to die. But it changes how you die when you remember that God is your refuge. When you do that, then you have this wisdom that shows up in verses 11 and 12. Who knows the power of your anger according to your fear, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. There is huge wisdom that comes in remembering every single solitary day. This could be my last day right now. This could be it. That's not gloomy or morbid, as people say. Well, I mean, morbid is another way of saying dead, right? It is a way of living in this world that actually frees you to really live.
Absolutely. It's total freedom. When you realize that whether I live or whether I die, as Paul said, I live to the Lord.
Right.
And, having just come from the funeral of someone,
right,
that died much too early by our earthly standards, and somewhat of a shocking situation in terms of its suddenness. The bottom line is, why we're all shocked by death is really rather remarkable.
Yeah, seriously?
It happens all the time. How can you be shocked by it? And so on the one hand, it's good that we're, while Moses is helping us to focus on the wrath of God over our sin that will lead to this death that we owe as a penalty for a consequence for our own inherent sinfulness, the bottom line is there is tremendous freedom in simply living your life as the people of God, knowing that you are free from the ultimate consequences of this, that weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning for you, even in the midst of death.
Yeah,
so it's a wonderful way for him to kind of romp through this reminder that we are dust and dust will return. So what's the answer to the people of God? That those that don't believe, the answer is, wow, this is devastating to us. I read this psalm. I was reading it this morning and singing it even before getting in on the program and then listening to Ben's beautiful voice. Is this a song of lament? It doesn't feel very lamenting to me. It It's amazing how a psalm of lament can be terribly comforting at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and when he comes back at the end to, you know, return, O Lord, how long? Let us repent thee concerning thy servants. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Wait a minute.
Right.
All the days under the wrath that he was just talking about? It's like, yes, there can be a joy that can literally transfigure all our days. You know, one of the things that I've been thinking about this so much, it's so weird. I was really struggling with what on earth I was going to preach at my niece's wedding. And I finally thought, you know what I'm going to preach? I'm going to preach that, I always got in trouble at St. Paul's for telling people that I much rather preach a funeral than a wedding. And they were like, Pastor, man, that's just wrong.
That's
there's something
so
wrong with
cool.
that. But it's that's so true, me. Right? You know? And when they're like, why? And it's like, well, because you know, at the funeral, the problem is sort of in your face, in front of you. There's a body there, you know, it used to be a person attached to that body, and that, you know, everything feels wrong and out of sorts. And I have a word that can address that. But in a marriage, the same problem is there, but nobody sees it. It's hiding underneath all of the celebration and the joy. And people are really just saying, like, you know, Pastor, get on with it. You know, we need to get to the main event, the party. And, you know, maybe even the wedding party is saying that. And then you realize, okay, in God, we have it all backwards. We have it all upside down. Because what a wedding is a funeral for two individuals. You know, they're going to, it's an invitation for them to be martyred and die. And what a funeral is, it's the celebration of the entrance of someone into the wedding of Christ. So
there's always more. I totally agree. There's always more to what we see. You know, I don't know about you. I'd probably rather look at the bride than a dead body myself, but there's always that which we don't see that's equally present.
Amen.
And
amen.
So
this beautiful last line, which I don't want to leave, and I don't want to leave without this. Let the beauty of the Lord our God, Yahweh our God, be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. And no matter what we do, it's nothing if he doesn't actually make it stand firm. And how's he going to make it stand firm? By letting his beauty shower over us. This is beatific vision talk. This is when you are in the presence and seeing your Savior with your eyes. That's where it ends up. He's the one into whom you've climbed. He's your home. And that's how you get through the wrath. All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm pressing for time because I'm looking at the, I'll give you your last comment here. And then we have three psalms to get done in the second half hour.
So. Hey, that's of your own doing.
Yeah, I know. Go for it. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that the remarkable thing when you think about Moses, the great lawgiver, you know, people that, you know, the law, the Old Testament, Moses, work, and now work because of the weight of law. The weight of the law and sin being brought into the world by us, now our work is laborsome and under the feet, the thistles and weeds and whatnot. And here Moses is closing off this, saying, let your mercy be upon us so that the work that we do may be established upon us in a much more positive way.
Right.
And that is our prayer for all of our days, that we can go about our days rejoicing and being free, whether we live or whether we die, and then all that we do, that it's given to the glory of God, even the work by the sweat of our brow.
Amen. Hey, you know, before we go to that break, one last real quick thought. The really odd thing to me has always been that the church prescribes this as one of the psalms that you read when you first visit the family after a death, which I remember the first time I actually read the words, the look on the people's face was like, wow. You're actually just saying the way it is. That's what the Word of God does, right? You know, it says what is. And man, do they, I mean, there is such sweet hope in these words because they actually describe the human condition, if you will, with no flowery varnish. You just, that's a mixed metaphor if ever there was one. Well, I mean, with no flowery way of saying, I mean, they just say it straight out. All right, we're going to take our break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/careers.
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. What do we know about Brett Kavanaugh, the president's nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court? Focus on the Family Vice President, Ted Gegelein, has known Judge Kavanaugh for 20 years. Tim and I speak about the president's nominee on today's World Lutheran News Digest. World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Wednesday at 2:30 and Saturday at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, this is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark.
And this is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky. Matt, I'm trying to think what would be a good theme verse for wrestling with the basics, like John 3:16 or...
Well, I think I've got one, John.
Yeah?
How about Acts 2, verse 15?
What is it?
For these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning.
That's perfect!
All right, now, there's no time for foolishness.
Wrestling with the basics.
9:05 Saturday mornings on KFUO.
Where we take God's word seriously, but we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Welcome back to Thy Strong Word here on KFUO, your good news messenger. Closing in on a century, we're going to plunge right into the next psalm, Psalm 92.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy word. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies. And mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord.
We pray, O God, the eternal rejoicing of the saints, who makest the righteous, strengthened with diverse gifts of good things, to flourish unfadingly in the palm-bearing courts. We beseech thee, that putting away the weight of our sins, thou mayest bestow upon us the fellowship with them through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Okay, this man is like a worship director's dream psalm. It's good, man. It's good to actually give thanks to the Lord. And it is good to be singing praise to the Most High. It's good that the morning and the evening are times for that. I just had to get that out of my system. Okay, give me your thoughts on this psalm.
Well, I mean, I always love to look at the titles, you know, the descriptions that are given to these psalms. And this one, of course, you know, it's a song for the Sabbath. We don't hear about the, it's kind of cool that we don't actually know who the author is. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the author is God. But it's a song, it's a psalm for the Sabbath. So we just got done hearing, you know, on Psalm 90, though we skipped over 91, which is a lovely psalm.
Yeah, yeah. we did that, I think, a little bit ago.
Oh, I understand. But it's hard to skip over any of them.
Sometimes I know.
I always remember Dr. Ken Corby saying, hey, what's wrong with you pastors? How can you get anything done if you don't pray the Psalter at least once a month?
Amen.
Yeah, the bottom line is that that we have one psalm for the Sabbath. And what's the key point? You know, it's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, O Most High. Where do we gather? Invoking God's name to receive his gifts, to extol and give thanks to him for all that he's done, and to primarily in our lives declare his steadfast love. Boom, right there in the divine service, where we who are weary from the works of our hands and the toil and the thistles and all of this, we gather to shut up, sit there, and to receive what he seeks to work in us. And so when we think of this psalm about how great his works are, this is the perfect psalm to be talking about where we actually receive them, namely in the divine service when we gather and have our Sabbath rest in Christ.
Especially since he moves directly after this opening, you know, explosion of praise, he moves to this, Lord, you made me glad through your work. I'm going to triumph in the work of your hands. You know,
Right. It's
not about you coming to do something for God. It is about God gathering his children so that he may do something awesome for them, his great work.
And then you move right into how great are your works, O Lord, your thoughts are very deep. This is where we come to hear God's deep thoughts, where we get to receive the beautiful nature and the deepness of the thoughts that comes to us through his word, not only in Holy Writ, but also in edible forgiveness and the Lord's Supper.
I love that, edible forgiveness. Yes. And he, you know, he, with the deep thoughts of God, he moves immediately to sort of like a summary of what you actually have extended in Psalm 73, where he runs through, you know, why are things working out this way in this world? I mean, why does it look like the wicked are just prospering right and left, and the people who are seeking to serve God keep on getting smashed like a bug? What is going on? He deals with all that. And he's like, you know, but from the word of God, you learn not to look at how things are in this world. You're learning to look at things from how they will be at the end. You literally come to have resurrection eyes.
Well, and that gets back to what we were just speaking about in the first half of Psalm 90 about the difference between how we look at weddings and funerals.
Right.
You know, there's always more than what our eyes see. And here the psalmist is reminding us to have eyes of faith, not eyes peeled to the ground, and don't look at the weeds.
right.
Because the weeds always grow faster than anything else, right?
Right, right.
But that doesn't mean they're strong. It doesn't mean they're rooted. It doesn't mean that they're full of strength and vigor. Don't look with your eyes.
So I love the move that happens between 12 and 13, where he starts singular and then moves plural. So in 12, it's the righteous who flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. The righteous one. We think about Yahweh as our righteousness, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one indeed who is this great, if you will, vine, tree, branch, whatever you want to say. I mean, he's the one we're planted into. And then we get to be planted in the house of the Lord. You're planted into him. Right? You're rooted into Jesus, who is rooted in the Father himself. And that's how you continue to have this movement of bringing forth fruit, even when you're old. You're still going to be fat and flourishing. I love that description to show that God is upright, that he is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him.
There's something great about, you know, the contradistinction with this whole works business with being planted.
Yeah.
You know, being planted is a lot different than, you don't plant yourself. You know, if I went running out into the desert down here in New Mexico and dive into a sand dune with some sagebrush and some yucca sticking out of it, that would, first of all, it would look pretty stupid, but also it ain't going to work.
Right.
But yet stuff grows, dead stuff grows out there all the way. Here you are planted. This is God's work, that you are planted. This is why, getting back to the last psalm, this is our dwelling place in generations. We are planted in the house of God. This is his work. We are planted just as we're safe in the holy ark of the Christian church. He puts us there. And when you plant something, you don't necessarily see it right away. The weeds might be growing all around it, but inside it's growing and getting stronger, and then it comes forth to newness of life, and then you see the flourishing.
And the church is wherever that word is being proclaimed. This is where you find the house of God. And where you find that, you'll find people gathering together to sing his praises and to hear his word and to be engrafted by that word into Christ. And then from Christ to bear fruits all their lives until the moment comes where God says, okay, I'm transplanting you from this world into my kingdom.
And then in the kingdom, what do you do when all the fruit has come to being? You enjoy it.
You enjoy it, and you go on singing.
We won't be bearing fruit in heaven. We're going to be enjoying the heck out of the fruit that's around us and in us and with us in the person of Jesus and being gathered as the body of Christ and enjoying the abundance of fruit in the harvest.
All right. I'm going to actually throw the Psalms out of order here, and because I want to get 115 no matter what. And if we have time, we'll come back to 112. Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right.
You are the man.
So let's go to 115. Thank you.
The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased.
Let us pray. O God, unspeakable name of Trinity, who didst awe the streams of Jordan with the aspect of thy light, grant that thou mayest never suffer those whom thou hast washed and renewed in holy baptism to be defiled with the idols of image worship, who livest and reignest, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
You know, there's so much that about this psalm that absolutely delights my heart, but I think you could really reduce the whole psalm down to one thought: is you're going to become like what you worship. You're either going to be dead or living,
No, that verse haunts me every time I read, those who make them become like you become, it's kind of like, the whole phrase, you are what you eat, you are what you reverence.
Amen.
you become like what you reverence.
You become
you want to be an idol? Okay, so you're going to become like that idol. I mean, it's really real.
And the way he describes the idols here, with the, they've got ears, but they don't hear, mouths, they don't speak, eyes, they don't see. It's the description of a dead person, of a body, right?
Right.
I mean, it's like, that's all it ends up being. Lifeless, literally lifeless, with no spirit in it. And in contrast to Yahweh, this God who made everything, who brought his people out of the land of Egypt, he is the one that when you are worshiping him, when you are connected through faith to him, when you, as it says repeatedly, trust in him, trust in the Lord, trust in Yahweh, mm-hmm. trust in Yahweh, when you trust in him, you actually become like him. That is alive. And so that's why I think it really drives toward this. I love that it begins with, don't give us any glory, O God. It's not about us. It's not any about us. It's about your name, your mercy, your truth. This is what it's all about. But then at the end, this mysterious saying, the dead don't praise Yahweh. None who go down to the pit praise Yahweh. But we will bless Yahweh from this time forth and forever and more. All of a sudden you realize, oh, wow, God's got a different definition of dead than we have. His definition of dead is those who don't praise him because they've never been enlivened by faith to receive his gifts. They are dead. But those who are living, they go on praising Yahweh, whether they're breathing here on earth or not. They're living. Right? We bless the Lord from this time forth forevermore. That's just so amazingly awesome.
Well, and as you know, you and I have both experienced, you know, deaths close to our families the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, what comfort there is there in knowing that just as God created, I mean, we can create crap with our, excuse me, we can create stuff with our hands. We can create stuff with our hands and worship it and rub its belly all we want, but there's ultimately nothing there, no matter how beautiful or life appearing it looks.
Right.
There is nothing ultimately but death. These hands can't give to you. These eyes can't see you. This mouth can't whisper sweet nothings in your ear. There is no praise coming forth of it, as you said in the end. The dead do not praise the Lord. But we worship the author of life who created all things with his hands and created mankind with his hand, but then breathed life into Adam's nostril and breathed life into us anew. And so we will continue to bless the Lord forever and ever because of the life that is in us, which is in beautiful contradistinction here from the death that is everywhere that we look. You know, and this psalm is really about the Israelites being out. You know, they're in exile. They're trolling around. They're walking around. Seeing. You know, we do this in our life. We see everybody's got everything so good. Everything's great. Everything's perfect. Everybody, idols everywhere. We wish, sometimes we in our own sinful state wish that, well, I wish we could have some idols too because they look pretty nice. But they don't do squat for you.
Right.
They don't do squat. And thus his appeal to trust in God, to trust in the Lord. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He's your help. He's your shield.
And what's he want to do? What's he want to do? I mean, he repeats it over and over again. He will bless you. He will bless us. He will bless us. He will bless us. I mean, he's like, he cannot get away from that. It's like, trust him, because what he wants to do is actually bring blessing to you. He wants to give you a share in his own divine life. He wants you to be in him forever. That's pretty sweet.
Well, in verse 16, the heavens are the Lord's heavens. But the earth he has given to the children of man, and we've seen how good we did with that. You know, the idols, the best the idols can hope for is lavishment for the time when the children of men had ruled the roost, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But we not only praise God, even in the midst of our walking in our own exile and our own wildernesses, but not only, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. In spite of our earthly death,
yeah.
Even though we die, yet we live.
We will. Yay! Yeah, I mean, it was Psalm 116, right?
Yep.
We still live in Him and beyond. That is just. That is the comfort and the view that the children of God have as they live in this world. We literally live from the resurrection that we know is coming. All right, I'm going to go ahead and actually let's go ahead and hear that Psalm 112, and we'll just give it whatever little time we can.
The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. And his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The generation of the upright shall be blessed.
So imagine a situation where you were thrown into a moment where you had to comment on an entire psalm like this in like 2 minutes. You're in it. Go for it.
Woo! Awesome. Well, the thing that keeps jumping out at me, even as it's so awesome that you have the singing of the psalms. I just can't get enough of it. But, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. We think about who delights in his commandments. Well, the first commandment, we should fear, love, and God. Fear, love, and trust in God above all. Blessed is the man who's been, we've been talking about being planted in the house of God, mm-hmm. invoking God's name, that this is where God's name comes to us. We bear his name. We fear the Lord because of what God has done for us and his coming and making his dwelling place with us. And so what happens is you look through the rest of the psalm, what bears fruit from delighting in God's commandments and fearing the Lord and in the positive way of our sanctified response to the commandments. What do? Wealth and riches are in his house. Righteousness endures. It is well with us. I want to almost sit here and go through the whole second table of the law, mm-hmm. and see that you even get down to verse 9, he's distributed freely. He's given to the poor, the positive aspect of the seventh commandment,
right.
Of not stealing but giving to others, of almost that when we are planted in the house of God and when we fear the Lord in this God-given sense, we not only delight in the commandments, but we want to seek to live out our life, and God works these good sanctified things through the second table of the law that naturally will flow out of us in response to God's goodness.
All right. You had your 2 minutes, and you did a great job with it. I want to thank you for this crazy run through the Psalms. It was a joy with you, man. One final comment that I would give to our listeners today is I think that maybe a key to the treasures here are that he's talking about the real... what was it that a person who fears the Lord really treasures? That's the treasure of his house. that's the good stuff that he leaves to his kids. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Thank you so much, Pastor Zill. It is always a joy to talk to you, man.
Likewise, my friend.
People of God, remember the show produced for you by the LCMS, Office of National Mission, underwritten in part by the good folks at Lutheran Heritage Foundation, LHFmissions.org. William Whedon wishing you God's richest blessings.
You've been listening to Thy Strong Word, produced by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Office of National Mission in cooperation with Worldwide KFUO, the official broadcast ministry of the LCMS. Your support is vital for this program to continue. You can make a gift safe, secure, and easily online at KFUO.org.
Thank you for listening and supporting Thy Strong Word.